Amen. Chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1. I told the breakaway service on Friday night that God is in the life-changing business. That's what he does. Amen. That's what he specializes in. We can look out across this place tonight. We have ex-drug addicts, ex-alcoholics, ex-this, ex-that. I mean, you're a miracle. When you look in the mirror, you're a miracle, and it's only because of what God did in your life, the grace of God that takes a person, amen, that was destined for a devil's hell and rescues and saves and puts him in his right mind on the right course and changes his life. He's in the life-changing business, amen. So I don't know what you're facing tonight. I don't know where you're at, amen. God knows where you're at, and all I want to tell you tonight is that there's hope for you. Amen, that God can take any mess and fix it. Amen. I remember fishing as a kid, and the line would get all tangled. And I was one of those people that just had to put everything down and untangle it. All you had to do was snip it, put a new hook on, and then some new bait, and cast it back out there. But I was so stubborn, I was going to get every last knot out and reel it back in. And, you know, that's what God does with us. You know, God is a very patient God. You think, man, my life is like a tangled line, fishing line. And society will just will cut you off. Society will say, you know what, there's no value in that. Let's just start over. But God says, you know what, I can do something with this. He's a good God. He's a life-changing God. Then, of course, I shared a joke that I want to share tonight, but I want to give a disclaimer that if you don't get this joke, you might be blonde. Okay? Because I had some that said, I didn't get that joke. So if you don't get it, either you're blonde or you're just laughing so people don't think you're blonde. Okay? Amen. So, amen. This hillbilly, I heard this about this hillbilly, and he lived in the backwoods of West Virginia, the moonshine capital of the world. My daughter's got a West Virginia hoodie. I think I might have some kinfolk back in West Virginia. Amen. But they were hillbilly as all get out. I'm talking hillbilly. If you can imagine a hillbilly, you know what I'm talking about. They lived in a house with no running water, no electricity. I mean, they were as rough as they come. And the father said, you know what, I heard about this place called New York City, and I want to take my family to see New York City. So he saved up all that moonshine money, put it in a jar, amen, because you know they got plenty of those jars, and saved up that money, enough money to get in his car, put his family and take his family and drive all the way to New York City. When they get there, man, they're blown away, man. They're looking at the skyscrapers and the buildings, and I mean, they're just taking everything in. They can't believe it. Finally, they get to the Grand Hotel. They get where their room is, and they get checked in, and they're trying to get their bag situated. The dad walks over with his son to where the elevators are, and they said, that's how you get up to your room. Never seen an elevator in his life. And so they're standing over there, him and his son. They're watching the lights, and they see all the numbers. They're on like the 30th floor. They're figuring, how are we going to get up? All of a sudden, here comes this little old lady. She's got a cane. She's all wrinkled up, and she pushes a button. The doors open up, and she goes inside the elevator, and the doors close, and they're just watching wide-eyed. What's going on here? 30 seconds later, the doors open back up, and this beautiful young blonde walks out. And the dad, he's just looking at this, and he reaches over to his son, and he hits his son on the shoulder. He says, son, hurry up. Go get your mom. Now, if you didn't get it, just laugh. Amen. Just laugh like you did get it, okay? Amen. Then I asked Breakaway, I said, how many of you husbands wish there was an elevator like that for your wife? I said, don't raise your hands. And then I said, how many of you wives wish there was an elevator like that for your husband? Just lift your hands up. Lift your hands up. Hey, there we go, some honest people. Praise God. God's in the life-changing business, amen. And he doesn't necessarily change our physical appearance, but we sing an old song, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. And God begins to work down on the inside, and it becomes evident on the outside that there's something different about that person. They got this shine. They got this glow. They got this joy. Something's happening in that person's life. It's because of what Jesus did and the love of God. And God begins to work through that person. I'm here to tell you tonight, God is in the life-changing business. Amen. Found another story about a 300-pound baby. It says, like any other baby, Stanley sleeps in a crib, wears diapers, loves nothing better than being comforted by his mother as she bottle feeds him. Except Stanley Thornton is 30 years old, and his mother is really his roommate. Mr. Thornton seeks comfort in being treated like a baby. The adult baby lives out his fantasies at his California apartment, where he has built himself a giant crib, a playpen, and even a man-sized high chair. 300 pounds, that's a big high chair. Amen. He spends his days playing with Legos as he sucks on his pacifier and being spoon or bottle fed by his roommate, Sandra Diaz, who willingly acts as his mother. Each morning, Miss Diaz, a former nurse, wakes him up in his nursery where he sleeps in a crib dressed in a play suit underneath colorful mobiles hanging from the ceiling. He said, I like it. It's very comforting. It's comfortable. It's easy to get into the baby feel while you're in it. And there's nothing else like it, waking up in a crib as opposed to a bed. You wake up as a child and you go on from there, and it's easy to stay in the same mindset. Now, how many know tonight there's something wrong with this picture? Amen. If I had a big bottle, I think that'd be a great prop. Amen tonight. But, you know, many Christians are, there's no question they've been saved, but spiritually they're very deficient in what is necessary for them to grow. And I want to talk about some of those things tonight. I'm not trying to condemn anybody or put anybody down, but, you know, we ought to be able to come to a service like this and let the Holy Spirit put his finger on our heart and say, you know what, you're neglecting some areas. There's some things that are missing in your life. And hello, I'm trying to speak to you, says the Holy Ghost, because I want to help you. You know, the Holy Ghost, the reason he gets down in our backyard isn't because he's trying to rub our face in it. It's because he's trying to help us. Amen. So I want to preach on spiritual growth tonight. The Bible says that when we get saved, in John chapter 3, it talks about this with Nicodemus. When we get saved, we're born again. Amen. Spiritually speaking, we become born again. The Bible says old things are passed away, all things become new. You become a new creation. God begins to, Bible says God takes that old stony heart and he puts in a heart of flesh. And as God begins to move through your life, you know, he begins to take out old desires and he puts in new desires. Hallelujah. How many know what I'm talking about? You're born again. You're saved. You know, when you've been genuinely saved, you know that you've been saved. I'm not talking about religion tonight. I'm not talking about Sunday morning religion, amen, where you come down, answer an altar call just to get the guilt off your back, and you go back out and do the same thing over again. And I'm not talking about a struggle either. What I'm talking about is a genuine experience, and when you got saved, there was no question in your mind, you were made new, brand new. And you're in this new journey, this new adventure. You begin to discover who God is, amen? That's what the names of God is about. We talked about this a little bit in our small group last night, knowing who God is, not knowing about him, but knowing who he is. Then we begin, as we're made new, we begin this lifelong process of sanctification. Sanctification is this process where basically it's God working in your life. He's setting you apart. Amen. You're no longer, Bible says, you're no longer conformed to the world, but you're conformed to Christ. We're Christians. We're Christ-like. Amen. God begins to give us a new identity. We begin to discover who we are in Christ. Amen. And this sanctification process, amen, is an ongoing process. And in this process, we ought to be growing and not arrive at a state where we're 20 and 25 and 30 years old and we're still sucking on our pacifier. Hello. Can I get a big amen? I know I'm preaching to the wrong crowd tonight. That's for the church down the street. But I just want you to hear me out tonight, amen? God wants to do something special in us. Draw us, amen. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to read out of the ESV, 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Listen to this. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God will show you how to live a godly life. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. How many know he has precious promises? So that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of the sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. Self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep you from being ineffective or fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying, if you apply all of these things and they're at work in your life, in this process of growing, you're going to be effective. You're going to be able to stand up to that sin. Amen. That addiction, whatever it is that's plagued you, that thing that's always drawn you back, it's always been a proclivity in your life. It's something that you've had this bent towards, whether it's because of your dad or the bloodline, whatever it is. Amen. Here he's saying, if you do these things and you walk in these things and you're growing, you're going to be able to say no to it. Verse 9, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So the first thing I think that's important if we're going to grow spiritually is we have to have a knowledge and an understanding of God's word. We spoke about this last night in the small group. I asked, what is one way that we can know God? And one of the answers was through the word of God. Amen. Right here. But the problem is very few people want to read their Bible. And God will speak to you through the word of God. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will quicken the words. The words that you're reading, as you're reading that Bible, it's almost as if sometimes they leap off the pages. And God's getting our attention. He says, this is for you. Amen? So it's so important that we have a desire for the word of God. In John chapter 8 and 31, it says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The Apostle Paul in Romans 7, 22 says, for I delight in the law of God according to the inner man. Job said, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Psalm 1, 2, and 3 starts out the book of Psalms, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree, listen to this, planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. That word desire, that's a strong, intense desire. Our growth begins with a desire for the word of God. He doesn't say read the word. He doesn't say meditate on the word. He doesn't say teach or preach the word. He says here, amen, that we ought to desire the word of God. And I think that's a mark of spiritual maturity. There's a desire for the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. This Wednesday night crowd is lit. Praise God. An insatiable thirst, a passion, a compelling, a craving. Amen. It's like 3 days and you haven't eaten. You've been fasting. Amen. You drive by Taco Bell and Burger King, La Casita with the menudo and the tortillas, and you know you can't have it. Amen. And you have this insatiable desire. I don't know how else to explain it to you. Folks, I love to eat. Amen. And the Word of God ought to be just like that. Amen. You wake up in the morning. Amen. Instead of getting bacon and eggs and having the desire. Amen. The desire that you have. Amen. Is to feed your spirit man. I got to get something in me. Amen. And I might be able to make it past breakfast, but by lunchtime, I got to get a hold of the Word of God. I got to know what He's saying to me. How many understand what I'm saying? There's a desire for the things of God. These things, amen, as you read and you give yourself to be a student of the Word, you begin to grow. It's common sense, amen. And it's good common spiritual sense as well. Hallelujah. Secondly, tonight, where does that desire come from? It comes from the Spirit of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's a scripture in the Bible that says that where Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I go away. And we know, anybody that's a student of the Word, that when Jesus went away, He sent the promise, which was the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Ghost in our life. We need the Holy Spirit to grow. I was sharing a story with Meg on the way to church, and I thought, you know what? I'm sure I can fit that story somewhere into my message, and I'm going to share that right now. But there was a guy that, I might mess this story up, but I'm going to do my best. But there was a guy way back when they would take ships and they would travel across the ocean, and he wanted to come to the United States, lived somewhere in Europe, wasn't a very rich man. But he thought, you know what, if I can save up enough money, I can visit America, I can start a new life. And so he saved up, and for several years, finally he had enough money to get a ticket to go to the United States. So the day finally came, and he had really only the clothes on his back, and he had a bag with some possessions, but in that bag he had some cheese and some crackers, enough to last him the 7 days trip or however long it was to get to the United States. He knew he couldn't afford to eat in the dining area. So every day when it came time to go to the dining area, this dining area was, I mean, it was like a Thanksgiving feast. But he knew he couldn't afford it, so he would go down. Instead of going up to the dining room, he'd go down to the basement where the boiler room was, and he would find a place in the corner, and he would take out his cheese and his crackers, and he'd eat his meal. And when it was done, they would come back down to their rooms, and he'd come up to his room. And he did this for 6 days straight, and on the seventh day, he went down to the bottom, and one of the workers came through there, and they saw him over in the corner eating the cheese and the crackers, and they said, "Sir, what are you doing?" And he was embarrassed, and he said, "Look," he says, I can't afford to eat in the dining room, so I come down here." And he says, sir, don't you understand that when you bought the ticket, it included every meal in the dining room?" Now think about that. We have the Holy Ghost. And, you know, not just the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen. That's fantastic. Amen. That's the power. That's the dunamis power that we've been given. But how many people don't realize that God has given us the benefits of the Holy Spirit? He's a comforter. Amen. He's one, the Bible says, Paracletus. He walks alongside you. He's there with you. He's a coach. Amen. We just fired a coach that needed to be fired. The Broncos, amen. But you know, a good coach is worth its weight in gold. Somebody that can look and see the blind spots and see where you're messing up and you're beginning to go down the wrong direction. Say, "Here, you need to fix this. You need to work on this." That's what the Holy Ghost does. We need the Spirit of God in our lives. In Romans chapter 8, 12 and 17, it says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But listen to this. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." How many understand that tonight? We try and fix our problems ourselves. Yeah, I'm going to get my healing. I'm going to go to the doctor. He's going to give me some medicine. He's going to operate on me. He's going to do this. And in our own flesh and our own abilities, we begin to work out how we're going to get better. Amen. Same with drugs, any addiction that you have, whatever, or any financial scenario. If I do this, if I do that, well, if you tap into the Spirit of God, amen, you'll find out what God has to say about it. And I'd rather know what God has to say about it than a psychologist or a doctor or a financial investor, amen? He says, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the gift or not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, amen, that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Think about that. He's not this nebulous power that's out there. He's a person. Amen. It's not an it. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he's there to help you. He's there to help you to grow. Amen. I was talking with one brother, and I said, listen, I said, he's struggling with an addiction. He says, how can I get free from this? And I said, listen, he made this comment. He goes, why won't God just take it away? Isn't that what God does? He just takes it away. Why can't God just take away this desire? And I said, you know what? God wants us to do our part. But the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. God will give you the strength. Then I said, and this was the Holy Ghost, because I have never heard this before, but you ought to let your no roar like a lion. Matter of fact, I think that would be an awesome sermon. Let your no roar like a lion. Anybody ever heard the roar of a lion? Amen. It's a booming sound. I've heard a live lion in Africa roar, and it vibrates the air. You say, how do you get to that? Well, you start with your no, just like when you're fasting, you say, nope, I ain't going to eat that peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And then you get to lunch, nope, no McDonald's combo for me. Then you get to dinner. My dad fasted for 21 days on just water. 21 days on just water. He had to take cold showers. He was afraid of passing out. He had different ones that had fasted telling him how to do it. And the first 3 days were the hardest. By the time he got to the seventh day, things began to subside, and he started to feel the power of God. And for the rest of the 14 days, he said it was the best time ever. 21 days. Your no will get stronger and stronger. Not in your power, but the power of Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And eventually, amen, when you have that pull and the world's pulling on you and that desire is there, eventually that no's going to come out, and it's going to come out as the roar of a lion. Woo! But if you keep giving into that thing, the devil's ain't stupid. You know what that no sounds like to him when you keep giving in? Sounds like a kitty cat. Amen. Meow. I'm not going to do that. Meow. I'm not going to go online. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to open that page. Meow. Our no ought to roar like a lion. Can I get an amen on this Wednesday night? Y'all are lit. Amen. So we grow, amen, by giving the Holy Spirit liberty in our lives. Let him deal with you about sin. Amen. He'll help us to understand God's word. He'll help us to pray. Amen. He'll speak to you. He'll tell you how to make a lot of money. Can I get an amen? Nobody but me wants to make money in here? Praise God. That's all right. Third tonight, I want to just finish with this. The evidence of spiritual growth is exactly what Dave Mormon mentioned earlier, and that's a fruitful Christian life. Listen to what it says in Galatians 5, 19 through 25. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. That's the evidence of your sinful nature. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Then he says in verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And I wonder today how many Christians, yes, they've been saved. Yes, they have life. Yes, they've reserved their spot for eternity, but they don't live the abundant life. God wants you to live the abundant life. He says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I certainly don't want to be a 300-pound baby, 30 years old. Come back on Sunday. Come on. Come on Sunday. We'll give you, yeah, put that passy in. Don't say anything that offends them. You don't want them to cry. No, don't cry. Don't cry, baby. A lot of Christians like that. They get offended, they get corrected. I don't want to be like that, amen. I want to grow. Let me ask you a question. Where do you want to be a year from now in your walk with God? We should just make this a small group discussion right now. Just jump in. No, I'm just kidding. Where do you want to be 2 years from now? Where do you want to be 5 years from now? I don't want to go backwards. Amen. I don't want to stunt my growth. Amen. I want to make heaven my home, but I don't want to backslide. I want to grow. I want to see miracles. I want to experience the things that my dad and my grandfather have experienced. I want to see revival. I want to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I want to grow. I want God to continually move in my life. I want to be able to say no and have my no be like a roaring lion, roar like a lion. I want to have a backbone. I want to have a boldness. I don't want fear to have any effect in my life. Amen. I'm growing. I want to grow in Christ. Amen. Spiritual growth tonight. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed in this place in reverence to God. Musicians are coming tonight. God is in the life-changing business. Yes, hallelujah. He loves you tonight. Sometimes we might come across a little strong in the pulpit, but God is a loving God. How many believe that tonight? He loves you. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I am that person that has a weak no. I don't know how to say no. I just give in. I'm not going to sit here tonight and tell you God understands and just to continue. No, God is a God that breaks bondages. He's a God that can set you free. Does God love you any less because you've messed up and you just can't seem to get the victory? No, he doesn't love you any less. God wants to help you. God wants to see you victorious and see you make it. God's not going to give up on you. But he certainly doesn't want to leave you in that state or that condition and overlook it. Let God help you tonight. Let God help you. He loves you. Yes, yes, he does. He loves you. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. And he'll help you tonight. All over this place with every head bowed and every eye closed, reverence to God. You say, you know what, preacher, my heart's not right with God. I've got things in my life that aren't pleasing to God. I need to get some things right. If that's you, quickly put your hand up. Put it right back down. I have sin in my life. I need forgiveness. God bless you. How many more honest people tonight? You say, you know what? I've got this one area where I just kind of keep slipping in. I don't want that. Tonight, I want to lay it at the foot of the cross. If that's you, quickly put your hand up and put it right back down. God bless you. Honest people tonight. Thank you, Jesus. We're all going to stand to our feet tonight. Amen. We're going to find a place in these altars, and we're just going to kneel down before God, and we're going to open up our heart, and we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to help us, deliver us, save us. Can we do that as we begin to sing this song? Let's find a place in these altars. If you raised your hand, take a step out of faith tonight. Hallelujah.